This is the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HR&P. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know what that music means. We're going to talk to the head coach of the Houston Cougars. Dana Holgorsen is going to join us here on ESPN 97.5. It is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, HR&P, and Chastang Ford. All three really love the Cougs, really love Dana, and this is obviously, you know, something that they've always, they want to be a part of this. And so if, you know, you're looking to buy that car, you're looking for that HR and payroll company, or you're looking for barbecue, or as Dana says, the best Mexican food in the city, then it is Damaris Barbecue. He's joining us here shortly. Apparently we're having an issue getting him. He's got his, by the way, he's got his radio show tonight on the other station, but it's an hour where you can go and see it. That's tonight at Little Woodrow's on Shepherd. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, if you're a Coug fan, you want to go see Dana.
Don't listen,
you
go just meet go him, watch live.
Yeah, just go watch live.
Don't listen.
Don't listen on the radio. No. I don't even know what station it's on.
I don't either. I wouldn't listen. I would just go see
because,
it. Be careful. We're on the medium of radio. Don't just slander radio.
I'm not slandering radio. I'm slandering the promotion of it. I don't know. I know where it is. It's at Lil Woodrow's tonight, 7 o'clock. Dana's going to be there. So get on over there and meet Dana tonight. He's joining us right here on ESPN 97.5. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Well, so another short week. And, you know, maybe you can go, you got to get the players in it. They got to get their day off. And obviously you want your players to rest and you want them to be, have mentally and physically ready to be playing. But this stretch, Dana, you talked about it before the season started, how much this sucks. You know, 6 days to get ready while everybody else has got their regular 7 days for the most part. That this stretch of 4 games in 19 days. Now that you're in the middle of it, maybe you could talk about the difficulty of it.
Well, it's pretty much routine for me. I think there's probably the thing that we're on guard for is the fatigue factor for the players over the course of 19 days. I sensed us being a little exhausted last night, which is normal just because you gotta regroup and get out there and get your work done here pretty quick and get on schedule as quick as we can. So. But the hay's in the barn at this point. So we gotta, we focus on recovery and the mental aspect of the game here for the next 48 hours and, you know, really the next 68 hours, whatever it is, until kickoff Friday night. So we'll be ready to go. You know, we got a big challenge ahead of us, but I got our work done. You know, we can't not practice, right? So we gotta get out there and get the work done. We did. Hopefully we'll recover the right way and be ready to go on Friday night.
With all that you know about Leach, I mean, obviously it's so difficult but you know this offense as well as anybody. So how difficult, I mean, is it a little bit of an advantage for you getting ready for this football game?
Oh, I don't know. it's funny. It's the first time I've went against them since, I guess it was 2009. You know, I left them in 2007, was here at UH in 08 and 09, and, you know, haven't really crossed paths with them. And there really hadn't been a lot of film carryover either just because of West Coast, West Coast, we just didn't have any crossover, hadn't went up against each other or any of that. So I tell you, he's doing a great job. I thought his coaching season last year was the best that he's had in his career. Honestly, they lost a lot of guys. They lost a lot of coaches. They plugged a new quarterback in who evidently is pretty good. Gardner Minshew had a pretty good game for the Jaguars yesterday or a couple of days ago. And then they won 11 games and finished 10th in the country. And that to me was pretty impressive. And then, yeah, I started watching their video a couple weeks ago because of, you know, Alex Grinch was the new DC at Oklahoma. So we turned on their 2000 and a 17 film, and I'm like, daggum, these guys are really, really good on
defense. Let me tell you something. It's impressive what he did with their D line, with some of the run stuffing stuff that they did was next level. It was really impressive.
Really impressive, you know, and he's going to get that Oklahoma group playing like that, you know, which I've already seen improvement out of those guys in the short time that he's already been there, you know. And so then I got to turn on this year's Washington State and last year's Washington State. It doesn't look any different. You know, Tracy Clays is their defensive coordinator now. He was the D.C. of Minnesota and was their interim head coach there for a while. And they didn't change any of the scheme because those kids understand what to do, and it's challenging. They mix their fronts a bunch. They blitz you a good bit. They're really, really aggressive, and they play extremely hard. So you mix in their offense, what they've done forever. It looks like Texas Tech offense back in 2002 when I was there, you know. And then you mix in the really good play on defense and a sound special teams game. This is a top 20 team, deservingly so.
I want to ask you about when you prepare, and maybe especially for a guy like Leach, who you know this is a system, right? I'm genuinely curious. From a percentage breakdown standpoint, how much your preparation has to be for the players that you're going to play, you know, and being prepared for every position, what they do, strengths and weaknesses, versus preparing for the coach? What percentage of your preparation is set up for preparing for a defensive or offensive coordinator versus the players that you have to play on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. I think, you know, what I do, and I think everybody's probably got a different approach to this, is, but I try to wrap my mind around their personnel first, you know, figure out who they are and what positions they play and how much they move around, whether it's offense or whether it's defense. I mean, you try to figure out where their bodies line up and who they are. See if there's matchups you can take advantage of. Just, you know, once you understand who they are and what they play, you can kind of start figuring out what their schemes are, which, you know, once I do that for a day or two, then I kind of tend to forget about their personnel, and it's all about the scheme as far as what you think the coordinator is going to do. Some of it's guesswork, some of it's not. Some of it's like, these guys just do this, and they're not going to change. For instance, what Washington State does on offense is different than what anybody else does on offense in the entire country. All this, and a lot's been made about Mike Leach's coaching tree, and it's fairly impressive. There's a bunch of them out there, but each and every one of us has kind of taken that system and changed it and molded it into our own. Where what he did at Tech in 2002 is the same exact thing that he's doing right now. It's the same sets, it's the same plays, it's the same signals, it's the same everything. They just execute it as well as anybody in the country. And, you know, they believe in what they do, and they stick to it, and it's incredibly impressive to be able to watch.
Man, and you mentioned Gardner Minshew and how impressive he was. 22 at 25 for Jacksonville, and you had talked to him to Leach about him. He liked him as much as any quarterback.
I talked to Coach Leach before every draft about his players. It's a long conversation, as Dana will probably tell you. It's a long one. Dana's conversations aren't as long. When I talk to Leach, it's like, hey, you ever seen, well, who's that one guy? If you looked at the, like, it'll turn into something completely different. But Minshew, he pounded the table for Minshew harder than, and he backs his players, but he said, this is the smartest and most accurate guy I think I've ever coached. He said, he is unbelievably smart with great poise. And it shows up on tape, but you're like, eh, I mean, he's kind of small, this and that. Boy, he looked poised last time.
I wonder what he'd say now, though, because this kid, Anthony Gordon, is 81% completion percentage, 884 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 1 interception so far in 2 games. He's got 884 yards. So I don't know if it's going to change any, but this kid looks like he picked up right where Minshew left off, Dana.
Yeah, it's really funny because we fought the system quarterback label forever and ever and ever. And, you know, like I said, what Cliff does is a little bit different, you know, but it's basically the same system, you know. And what, you know, we've turned ground and pound a good bit here over the last 5 years or whatever it is. And then, you know, what Jake does is a little bit different. What Lincoln does is a little bit different. You know, but we kept fighting that system quarterback thing. Is and all the gurus like Lance out there. No, I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying,
I got you.
I'm just saying all the guys that say these guys can or can't play in the NFL for years and years and years. It was like, no, they can't play in the NFL, and which is why like Case Keenum didn't get drafted.
Yeah.
You know, and is still currently playing in the NFL, but that label is gone.
Yeah,
you know?
Goff, yeah. Goff and Mahomes shattered
because
that.
Because
yeah.
You know, Baker Mayfield and,
yeah.
and Kyler Murray, and then, you know, I mean, Lamar Jackson was kind of put in that category a little
Pat
bit.
Pat Mahomes,
too.
Is he any
Pat
good?
Mahomes,
yeah, Jared Goff.
It's just gone. And,
yeah, it is.
And so Gardner is, and he's not a very tall guy. I you know, talked with him several times in some of the offseason you know, all-star games or combines or whatever it is, and he's not. He's probably a six foot one guy. He's not like Case is, and those guys have proved that they can have a ton of success in the NFL. That the Gordon guy's the same type guy. You know, he's a 6'2" guy that, you know, doesn't run particularly well, but does a great job in the pocket. Their O-line gives him about 6 seconds to throw the ball. So he's going to find one of those guys eventually. The receivers understand space and get open, and they do a great job of completing the football. So it's going to be a big challenge for us here Friday night.
I want to ask you about this. One of the reasons why everyone's had to change their mindset. I mean, I changed when I watched Goff. I had a good grade on Goff, and it took him a year. But I mean, that was the first real air raid like big success. And then you had Pat Mahomes. And then Baker and Kyler, and you mentioned Case Keenum, here's Case Keenum still doing it after all these years. I think a big part of that, though, Dane, is that NFL teams who are the slowest to come around, the best are high school coaches who have to make do with what they have and small colleges, and then the last to figure it out is the NFL. They're the slowest adapters. It is interesting, though, that since they're starting to adapt some of the college football philosophies that you guys have had for several years now, it's amazing how these quarterbacks now are natural fits in many systems now.
Yeah, the majority of it just becomes because of the shotgun aspect of it. I mean, it was interesting to follow that because we did get irritated with that label on our quarterbacks for a long time. And, you know, clearly we've been in the shotgun for ever since we started doing this way back in the day. But you look in the shotgun rate in the NFL continues to go up. I mean, it went up every single year over the course of, like, starting a decade ago. I mean, it was in the 40s, and now it's probably in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever it is. So, you know, just the comfort level of being able to be back there and execute the schemes from a non-traditional old-school NFL offense, I think, is appealing to a lot of people out there.
Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by HR&P, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastang Ford, right here on ESPN 97.5. Going to be at NRG Stadium against Washington State on Friday night, so he's moved the day up earlier this week. And then another day earlier next week because of the scheduling quirk that is the University of Houston schedule. Let's take one here. We got Dana for another segment. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HR&P. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 847. Dana Holgorsen, HR&P, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastang Ford, all bringing you the Dana Holgorsen Show here every week, usually on Thursdays from 8:30 to 9, but we've got to move it around a little bit because of the schedule. All right, on Friday night, you can have one of these two things. You can win the turnover battle by one, or you could have two more yards per play than Washington State. Which one do you take?
That's one of the dumbest questions I've ever been asked.
Two more yards per play.
Yes, I would think so.
Well, now, every coach says the turnover battle is the most important thing. Obviously, third down. What's the most important thing for you offensively? How would you rank them?
Turnovers is like fourth or fifth. You know, the studies that we've done, you got to win that thing by like 3 or 4 in order for it to really affect the game. You know, turnovers are all about, you know, when they happen, where they happen, and what you do with them. You know, like, for instance, we lost the turnover battle last week 2-1. You know, it obviously didn't have any impact on the game whatsoever. We won the turnover battle 2-0 against Oklahoma. That really didn't, you know, it helped. It just didn't really do anything negatively towards them. You know, if you're turning the ball over in the red zone and it's preventing you from getting points, that's big. If you turn the ball over deep in your territory, or you throw a pick and they take it to the house, or they scoop and score, I mean, that's a big deal. But, you know, turnovers in my mind are just change of possessions more than they affect the game.
Okay.
So yards per play is big. You know, if you're plus 2 in yards per play, you're going to win. You know, the red zone touchdown rate is a big one. You know, teams move the ball so well nowadays that if you're moving the ball and kicking field goals, you're probably going to lose. You know, so the kicking game is important when you got to, you know, when you get a penalty and you stall and it's a long yardage situation, you got to get points, but you can't consistently do that. The critical downs are big. You know, we shoot for about plus 10% in the critical downs as a team. That's a big one. Field position is really big too. If you're plus 15 or so in the field position thing, you're probably going to win that game as well.
Yeah. And by critical downs, you mean third and fourth down percentage. And plus 10 is good enough. Plus 10.
Well, if you're like, for instance, we try to shoot offensively for 50%, and most defenses shoot for around 35%. You know, so, mm-hmm. You know, as a team, you know, we try to gauge all these things as a team. So that would put you at about plus 15%. You know, so if you're around plus 10 to plus 15, plus 12, somewhere in there, then you got a pretty good chance of winning that game.
Yep. Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. This is going to be, and I don't know if Mike Leach is going to even recognize you anymore because of how much you're running the football now. You're going to get kicked out of the air raid club, probably, I would imagine, this week.
Well, I did. I did get kicked out 5 years ago. That's when, you know, what was it, 2015, 2016, we were rushing for about 300 a game and throwing for about, I don't know, 200, 150, 200, somewhere in there, something like that. So they done kicked me out back then. Hell Mummy came and watched me play, and we won. We beat Baylor, and I think we threw for like 90 yards. It was really cold, and we just couldn't do anything. And he just sat there and shook his head on the sidelines the entire day. Leach wouldn't call me back, you know, which really didn't bother me too much because, as Lance alluded to, those conversations are well over an hour.
Yeah,
it saved
you a couple hours right there, not calling. Yeah.
It drifts.
You know, and now we're back to, you know, Derek's, you know, making progress, but we run the ball pretty good. You know, Kyle Porter, local kid from Katy, had over 100 last week, and you know, Derek's had, you know, he's got close to a couple hundred yards or whatever it is. So we're back in the ground and pound aspect of things. So he probably won't even acknowledge me in pregame.
Yeah. I predicted that you would be, you know, tougher or coach harder after the win over Prairie View than you. I don't want to say you didn't coach hard after Oklahoma, but would be tougher on the team after that win as opposed to the loss at Oklahoma.
Yeah, we've been pretty hard on them here this week. We had a bad second half. You know, the towards the end of the second quarter, offense played really well in the first half. You know, we scored on 6 possessions and was rolling pretty good. And, you know, defense was playing pretty good. You know, had a long drive early and gave up the field goal. Had a really long drive before half, which was about a 6-minute deal, which was unacceptable. And they scored a touchdown going into the half, which literally just pissed everybody off. You know, so we had a bad halftime, in my opinion. I thought defense kind of regrouped and came out there and played well in the second half, but offense couldn't do anything. Once you turn that switch off, it's hard to switch it back on. So we had a lot of things that we could talk about, you know, and You know, that's just the coaching aspect of it. A lot of things we got to work on. A lot of things we got to, you know, we got to get to work on. But with a short week, you got to be careful how you do it, especially with a team that, like Washington State coming in, that's the single biggest attribute that they have that they play with is the effort that they play with. They play hard every single snap. All 11 play hard every single snap. So we better have some energy, you know. So you got to work on the stuff that you need work on, but you also got to keep them fresh, ready to go for the game.
Do you feel like there's a thought that playing a team like Oklahoma, you know, you can get in a real physical matchup and it can have an impact the next week? But there's also the thought that it's like swinging two bats on the on-deck circle, swinging a donut, where some of your next few games get a little bit easier. Do you think it has that? How do you think those kind of early season, big time encounters, how does that build your team or distract from your team?
You know, it's a good question, Nate. We did gain some confidence from that. We're not into moral victories. That's not what I'm talking about. But they're a top five team, and we had some success with them throughout the course of that game. You know, they played well, and you know, at the end of the day, we weren't going to win it, you know, obviously, but we do feel like we competed against them and we gained confidence from it. And, you know, we were probably a little disinterested in playing four quarters last week just because we really didn't have to after the first quarter. It was pretty much done. But, you know, obviously this is a whole nother deal. It doesn't take our players long to figure out, turn the video on. These guys are daggum good. They fly around. Their schemes are good. They're well coached. A top 20 team. They've won 13 out of the last 15. They've won nine a year for the last 4 years, nine or more a year for the last 4 years. So they better get ready for a battle. And it's my job to make sure that they're ready to go. And hopefully we've got the work done and we understand the game plan, but we can get recovered and ready and fresh and ready to play Friday night.
And it sure would be nice. A Friday night in Texas is kind of difficult, isn't it? I mean, what do you feel about playing on Friday nights and taking away from high school football?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, you know, I think Thursday nights have a good place. It really doesn't matter what I think. I mean, it's all TV driven, ESPN TV driven, and obviously this game was scheduled a long time ago. I like neutral site games. You know, we're trying to schedule some neutral site games at NRG in the future. You know, unfortunately, this isn't a neutral site game. This is a home game for us, which, you know, home games need to be played in our stadium. The return trip to Pullman is going to happen in 2 or 3 years. So we got to go back up. We're going to have to go to Washington State and play on their home turf here in a couple years. So, you know, I'd rather this game be on Saturday, and I'd rather this game be in our stadium. But there's nothing I can do about it. We'll take what we got, and we'll go make the most of it.
Yeah, probably when this was scheduled, you didn't have this stadium.
Yeah, more than likely not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know the previous AD, you know, like the Oklahoma deal, it was the same thing. You know, our home game was at NRG, and that turned out really good. And hopefully we'll have the same outcome here for the Houston Cougars, not the Washington State Cougars, but that, and then we had to go to Norman. That was the return trip.
Yeah.
So to me, that's an unfair advantage.
Yep.
You know, and our home and homes need to be home and homes, and neutral sites need to be neutral sites, and I'm a big proponent of both of them.
All right. That's Dana Holgorsen joining us every week right here tonight at Lil Woodrow's on Shepherd, his radio show that you should just go watch. Go there, hang out, meet the coach. And all you Cougs should be out there supporting Coach Holgorsen. And I'll see you over there tonight, Dana, at Lil Woodrow's on Shepherd. In the meantime, you know how I'm going to get there and how you're going to get there? Chastang Ford, right? Am I right?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. My expedition's sitting out front ready for me to wrap up practice, and I head there at around 6:30.
That's it. So get on over there and see Dana's expedition. I got the same one, and it is just beautiful. And you can't get I'm telling you, you can't get a better deal. I know you may have. Well, of course, the big, huge Ford dealers are going to give you a better price. That's simply not the case. They are going to give you make sure you get all those rebates, that you get a great price, that you get the best financing. There's a lot of 0% financing going on mostly all their vehicles. vehicles right now. This is a great, great time to buy, and the Chastangs are great people to buy them from. You can join the Chastang family. I joined the Chastang family a couple of weeks ago. I got to tell you, the buying experience is just excellent. If you're looking for that Ford truck, and they're, by the way, they're the Ford truck experts. They service everything that they sell. They are awesome. I'm telling you, you will love your experience at Chastang Ford. It's just east of 59 on the 610 Loop. It's exit Homestead, not Hempstead, exit Homestead. They've been in business since 1933, and there's a reason that they're in business that long, because they just do it right at Chastang Ford. Dana, we appreciate it. As always, we will talk to you again next week right here on ESPN 97.5.